Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to his name. Glory be to your name, Lord. Lord, we know today, we don't know no other day, that we are better than blessed. Why we are better than blessed? Because somebody didn't make it today. Somebody didn't make it this morning. Somebody didn't make it past this weekend or past last week. So, Father God, we just so thank you so much that we are better than blessed. Some of us, under the sound of my voice, still don't know how blessed they really are. Some of us still don't realize how better than blessed we really are. We take life for granted. We take God for granted. We take the Holy Ghost for granted. We take for what God did over 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross for granted. We just take God for granted. Some of us don't know, Lord, how better than blessed we really, really are. They haven't got that revelation of how better than blessed they are. They haven't really sat down and really allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to unto their soul to show them how better than blessed they really are. They say it. They might tell someone that I'm blessed and I'm highly favored, but do you really believe that you are blessed? That you are better than blessed, that you are highly favored by God? Do you really believe that down in your soul? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? If we turn on the television, we read the newspaper, and we hear other conversations and hear about so many people that's leaving us day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour. Have we really sat down and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm better than blessed. Lord, I thank you that I have your favor on my life. I thank you, Lord, that it wasn't me that didn't wake up this morning. It wasn't me that my family was preparing my home going and my funeral or whatever it may be. It wasn't me, Lord. So I thank you, Lord. Do we talk to the Lord like that? Do we conversate with the Lord on a daily basis of how thankful we are that he woke us up this morning, how thankful that he continued to allow us to be among the land of the dying? It's not the land of the living. It's the land of the dying, because people are dying every day, all day. Every minute, every second of the hour, somebody is leaving here. And you have some people that's leaving here at an alarming rate on their way to hell. They was enjoying the ride while they was here. Enjoying the ride while they're on their way to hell. Why? Because they don't have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. There's some people that you ain't going to see when you get to heaven. Some people you thought they had a love relationship, but when it all boils down to it, they didn't have a relationship at all. And there going to be some people that we thought didn't have a relationship, and we'd be able to see those people. They had no idea that they had a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to see them. But there are some people that you're going to be surprised that don't make it in. They have all the Christian jargon. They talk like a Christian. They speak like a Christian. They quote the Bible like a Christian. But at the end of the day, they had no personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of people that ain't going to make it. There's people that think they're going to make it, ain't going to make it. And you got to ask yourself, under a reasonable doubt, are you absolutely sure that you have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't lay down tonight with that doubt in your mind. Do I or do I not have that relationship that I need with Jesus Christ? Don't go to bed with that doubt. Because a lot of people are fooling themselves and thinking that they have eternal security. And they don't. They don't. They might be a members of churches. They might be in leadership in a church. And don't even have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. You went through all this, all through life, without a love relationship. And that's so sad. We can't preach you into heaven once you die. Once you die, we can't preach you into heaven. We can say good things at your repast. We can say good things in your eulogy, but we cannot pray or preach you into heaven. Once you die, it's over with. Big mama can't get you in. Mama can't get you in. Wifey can't get you in. Husband can't get you in. Children can't get you in. Pastor can't get you in. The prophet can't get you in. The apostle can't get you in. The evangelist can't get you in. The teacher can't get you in. Once you leave here, it's over with. There's no prayer that can get a dead man into heaven. None. This is the Inspirational Hour of Faith. I am your host, Michael Hill. My co-host is Willie. What I just said, that's a freebie. I give that to you for free. It ain't going to cost you nothing for what I just gave you. What I just gave you is for free. I'm not going to charge you. It ain't going to cost you nothing. This is the Inspirational Hour of Faith, and we're here once again on this wonderful Sunday to bring the Word of God, to bring truth, to build you up, to edify you, to equip you, to be able to be a better Christian than you was last week. This is what this show is all about. This is God's show. It's not my show. The Holy Spirit is in control. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. We pray for deliverance today. We pray for salvation. We pray for healing. We pray for sanctification. We pray for holiness. We pray for peace, joy, long-suffering in Jesus Christ. We pray for meekness. We pray for faithfulness. All of the fruits of the Spirit, we pray that the Holy Spirit will have his way on this show this evening, that lives will be changed forevermore, that men may look at you and ask that question, what must I do to be saved? You might be the only Jesus that someone may see. You might be the only Bible that someone may read. But at the end of the day, they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love the Lord because of your life and your lifestyle. Not because of what you say out of your mouth, because of your lifestyle. I can tell you I got a fast car all day long. But until I get in the next lane to someone else and go down to 660 or the 1320, that's when I will find out how fast my car really is. Or that's when I will show someone how fast my car really is. You can say out of your mouth, I got the fastest car in the world, as long as it's in your garage on jack stand. But until you get in that water box and turn that light on and get that time ticket, that's the tail of the time right there. That's when you know if you had a fast car. Now, there's a lot of guys that's in races that say their car is really fast until they get to somebody, get next to someone and found out that their car wasn't as fast as they thought it was. Same as being a Christian. You don't know how mature you is in Christ until a situation come up or circumstances come up or a storm come up in your life. Then you will know how mature in Christ you really are. There are so many immature Christians in this world. So many immature Christians in this world. Why are they so immature? Because, one, they don't read the Word of God to renew the mind. So they still have the same mindset. Yes, they have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ, but the mind has not been renewed. So they still talk the same, act the same, walk the same, carry themselves the same, do everything they used to do prior to coming into a love relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why it's so hard sometimes to tell the world from the church, because the church is still acting like the world. We're still doing things that the world does. We're still indulging in worldly things. We still look like the world. We still smell like the world. We still act like the world. We still talk like the world. We still carry ourselves like the world. We hold conversations like the world. The world can't tell the Christians from the rest of the world. Why do we just blend in? We should be able to stand out. We should be the light of the world, the light of the world. People should be able to look at you and tell there's something different about you because of the light of Jesus Christ that's shining through you. You don't have to tell nobody you're a Christian. They should be able to see it. They should be able to hear it. I never told nobody that I was a Christian unless they asked. You don't have to convince nobody that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship between man and Jesus Christ. Religion says I'm trying to reach to God, but Christianity says is God reaching down to man. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for tonight's show. We ask you to have your way. We thank you for all the listeners, all the supporters, all the prayers, all the prayer requests, Father God, every family that's represented tonight. We give you all the honor and glory and praise. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence. We ask you to have your way, that the gift of the Spirit will be in operation, the word of knowledge, the word of discerning the spirits, the word of healing, Father God, salvation, Father God. Father God, we pray right now that the Holy Spirit would have its way. We pray that no weapon formed against this show tonight shall prosper, and that every tongue that rise up against it in judgment shall be condemned. We counsel every assignment of the enemy. We bind all the backlash and retaliation from the north, south, east, and west. We override and we overrule all the plans, plots, schemes, and devices of the evil one this day in Jesus' name. Angels of the living God, Michael and Gabriel, I command you to come right now and to be on guard and to be on watch, that the angels of war will watch over this show tonight, will watch over the airwaves and the phone waves tonight, the internet tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we do pray, amen and amen. How you doing today, Willie?
I'm blessed, brother. I'm just blessed to be here under the sound of your voice, my brother. God bless and appreciate everything you do, Brother Mike. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for all you do as well. I thank all my listeners, all my faithful listeners. If we have any new listeners on the phone tonight, this is the Inspirational Hour of Faith. This is a show that God put together, used two brothers from two different geographical locations, a brother out of Georgia and a brother out of Chicago, to be able to put this show on. It comes on every Sunday at 7 o'clock Chicago's time. It's just a show that God put together to be able to equip His people. We don't put God in a box on this show. This show is led by the Holy Spirit, and whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, that's what we yield our vessel to. If this is your first time on this show, if you want to speak, if you have a prayer request, if you have a testimony, if you want to share how you heard about the show, just press your one button and it puts you in the queue. And my co-host will see your number pop up, call out your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you open your mic and after you get through speaking, put your phone on mute, because we try to keep all the background noise down to a bare minimum, because it helps us to be able to pay attention if someone else is speaking. So we try to be polite and courtesy of anyone speaking or praying or things of that nature. So if this is your first time on the show, welcome. You was a guest today, but after today, you are family, and we appreciate you sacrificing to call in tonight on this show. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same after listening to this show tonight. Willie, it's on you now. We got any hands up, or we can go to the phones, and then we can go ahead and finish moving forward in the show.
Amen, brother. We have some hands up. Amen, brother. First up, though, is your mother. Mother Hill, your mic is open. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing simply marvelous, 77% better than I was. First of all, I don't know how I'm saying this, but I'm saying it how I feel. I'm truly blessed and thankful, and I have had many revelations over me these last 12 weeks. And I am so knowingly that being blessed and thankful is what I am. You know, letting go and letting God do for me what I couldn't do for myself. I really thank God for allowing my adult children taking care of me. And as a parent, it is so hard to let them take care of me. You know, I was tired and still trying to care for myself. But God said, no, you rest. And I'm going to let the children I gave you take care of you. I thank God for my daughter getting a care team for me, for all my doctor's appointments, my sister, her husband. I really appreciate that. And I thank God for my son and his wife seeing that I had everything that they thought I ever needed. So I am truly blessed, a lot more energized, and I will keep listening, but I'll be full blessed sooner than later. So I'm going to listen right now. Thank you all for all your prayers. I felt those coming through the phone, so I love all of you, and thanks for being there for me.
Amen. Thanks, Mom. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless. Sister Chris, your mic is open. Sister Chris, good evening.
Well, thank you. And good evening, Mike. Good evening, Willie. Good evening, all the listening audience. And I want to say especially hello to my friend, Mother Hill. And I want to let you all know your program has made me blessed. I'm truly blessed. And now I just want to put my phone on mic and listen. And I love you all. So God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Love you too, Chris. Thanks. Amen.
All right. That's on mute, Sister Chris. We're gonna mute it. And what I'm going to do is, Brother Mike, when he starts his prayer, I'm going to mute everybody's phone. That way we won't have to keep on interrupting saying mute your phone. So when I mute your phones, it's not out of spite. It's out of respect. That's so you don't interrupt Brother Mike. Brother Butcher, I'm glad to see you on here tonight. And you can speak. You on here every night, but I hope you can speak tonight. Brother Butcher, your mic is open.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Willie. How you guys doing? I'm doing okay. I had a problem with my phone last week, but I'm back on, and that's the good thing. I'm doing well. You guys are praying for my mom and my son. They're getting better. My mom's out of hospital, but she's still a little sick, but she's getting better. So I thank you guys for that. And, I'm going to go on mute, and I'm going to listen to you guys. Thank you for praying for me, and I bless all y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bush. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, Brother Mike, we don't have any more mics open tonight. So I reckon everybody just sitting back waiting for the good word. Oh, here we go. It's Brother or Sister Fan. Brother or Sister Fan, your mic is open.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight? Just wanted...
Hey, Brother Fan.
Hey, just stepping in just to let you know everybody listening and getting ready to enjoy the show. And I hope it be a blessed show like it's been every other night.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you for you and your wife's support. Appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. All day.
Amen.
All right, Willie.
All right. Okay, appreciate you. Of course, we got our God, our Godmother here. Come on, long-winded. You know who I'm talking to. I ain't got to call no name. Sister Jen, come on in there.
That is not even funny. See, I wasn't going to come on here because I was going to save it for last, but I just wanted to say that I was listening tonight, and that I appreciate all of you guys, and I'm just been in a funky mood today, so I text Sister Hill earlier. I had to come and lock myself in the room, listen to T.D. Jakes, listen to some music to get my mindset right to listen to the show tonight so that I can receive tonight. And I just want to ask for prayers for my husband and his health. And as he's traveling, he's at an RV show. And I'm looking forward to hearing the word tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jen. Appreciate you.
All right, all right. Brother Darryl, your mic is open. Brother Johnson.
Good evening, guys. Good evening, Reverend Hill, Brother Willie. How you guys doing this evening?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, I almost didn't make it. Kind of slipped my mind. My wife and I, we went racing today. We were coming home from the track, and I happened to look at the clock, and I remembered the show. And I sure could use a word today. So I just want to come on, and I'm going to go back on mute and listen in. I know it's going to be a good evening. And just want to let you guys know I was listening in, and hello to everybody out there that's listening in also.
Amen, amen. Well, y'all be safe on your way in, and we appreciate you and your wife for tuning in tonight. We appreciate you.
You're more than welcome, more than welcome. But I believe the pleasure is going to be all ours. Okay. I'm going on mute.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Brother. Amen.
Brother Charles, your mic is open, Brother Charles.
Praise God, my brothers. Praise God, my brothers. How are you guys tonight?
Wonderful, 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 Charlie.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to let you know I was listening in on the show tonight. Thank you for that prelim. I mean, in the beginning of the show here, because there's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, but they really aren't. You know, we hate to say that because we want to try to save everybody. We want everybody to make it into heaven. But like you say, some people are under the falsehood that think they are going, but they're not. I'm thankful today because he allowed me to see another day. I always talk with guys about hearing the clock. And some people have a misconception about which clock I'm talking about. There's a lot of people whose alarm clock went off, didn't get up, because they didn't hear the real clock, the clock that God has in store for us, that he uses for us. So I just want to say thanks. I thank him for every day that he allows me to breathe and be able to talk with folk about him. And I'd like to just say thank you guys again for continuing to have the show, which I know is going to go on whether I'm here or not. You know, but I don't thank you guys, and I love you guys. So let's continue on.
Appreciate it, Brother Charlie.
Appreciate you, Brother Charlie. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for tuning in. And like I say, it's always a blessing to hear people press the one button and just chime in, whatever's on your heart, and speak. And you always do that every Sunday. So we appreciate you participating in the show. You know, a lot of people don't participate. They do call in, and we are truly thankful, you know what I'm saying? But we appreciate if you can, you know, the listeners that never press the one button, if you can just say hi and you thank God for another day. I mean, that's good enough, you know, because somebody might need to hear that,
amen.
You know.
Amen.
Somebody,
amen.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I can't reach everybody, and God didn't give me everything for everybody, but he gives us all something for somebody. You know, we all have
right.
something for somebody.
Amen.
So I appreciate you, man. I appreciate what you just said. Did you know that guy from U.S. Steel that got killed?
No, I didn't know him. I read about it in the paper on yesterday, and I really felt for his family. You know, I guess his wife. He had spoken with his wife about possibly going to a better job because he was questioning the safety issues out there, and for him to lose his life, man, I mean, it's a crazy thing, you know. It's combat for us every day that we go to the mill. I mean, you know, we guys, you know, people always talk about how much money we make out there and stuff, but they don't realize that this is combat pay for us because it's a war. Every day that you go there, you don't know whether you're going to come home or not. You know, you can be as safe as you can be, but things happen, and we have a program called Shared Vigilance out there where we are supposedly, you know, supposed to be our brother's keeper and watch out for these type of situations that can occur and stuff. And I'm not exactly sure what the details were on his accident, but 30-year-old man with a wife and kids, and you know, still had his whole life, pretty much his whole life to go, you know, ahead of himself, you know, to live and stuff. And now he's gone. So I, you know, I'm not sure what his name was, but I think I did read his name. I'm not sure. I can't remember what it is right now. But I'm gonna ask you to pray for his family also. And give them the strength and the courage to, you know, endure and understand that, hey, you know, this is not something bad. It's something good. Right now, they don't see that it's something good. But I mean, hey, you know, you just never know. God, it works in mysterious ways, and we don't really have the authority to question him. But, you know, I mean, hey, you know, us being human, we want to ask why, you know. We want to ask why, but you know, he'll make them understand in due time. So, I'd like to ask you to pray for him. I had forgotten all about that, Mike. I'd like to thank you for bringing that up to me.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I already had wrote it down on my prayer request to pray for when I just asked you. You know, it came. It wasn't nobody but the Holy Spirit that brought to my remembrance. You know, and that's why I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit for bringing things to my remembrance. And I thought about this man and his family, because I saw his wife on the news, and when I seen the steel mill, I know that's your job, and he was a mechanic over there, and I know you're a mechanic, so you know it kind of touched home with me, so that's why you know I felt the need to mention it and to pray for the man's family and his children, because he left two small children behind. So, but no problem. But yeah, I just wanted to know that did you happen to know? I kind of figured you probably didn't, because he was young and he wasn't in the mill that long. You know, but you never know who knows who, so that's why I just asked.
Exactly. I appreciate that, Mike. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we got one of our long-lost sheep coming home now. Sister Glenda, is that you out there? 708-6634, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. Hey, how you guys doing? It's me
and my husband, Darren.
Hey. I just wanted to say that I do love you guys, and I said I better tune in so I can get a word tonight. And I just want to encourage everyone to just love each other, and because tomorrow is not promised. We don't know. And the young lady, I don't know if you all heard about the young lady that was killed. She was one of the persons that was shot in at the university in Carolina. She was our son's friend, and she lost her life this morning. Did you all hear about that?
No, Sister Glenda, I didn't hear about it, no.
Well, it was on the campus where, you know, Breonna Baker used to go to in North Carolina, where Daniel's friend, she was a student there, and she was out at a house party, and someone got upset, and they came in and started shooting and shot her and another guy that was there at the party, and they both died. So just be in prayer for her family. Her and her brother ran track with Daniel. So I'm just asking for prayer for them, you know, the family. And just to remind everybody, you know, we just need to love each other, and we need to let each other know that we love each other, and cut out all the foolishness and the anger and the malice and the strife and the bitterness. We need to let all of that go and just walk in love. Because tomorrow is not promised.
You're right about that, Sister Glenda. You said you just said a mouthful. Matter of fact, I can close the show behind what you just said. You said a mouthful right there. Life is too short, you know, and people don't understand that this life we live is only temporary. And your life you don't have time for drama, bickering and arguing, fighting and fussing and unforgiveness. If we just work on our love walk, we'll be a better people. We'll be a better society. We'll be a better nation. You know what I'm saying? We'll be a better body of Christ. You know, if we just work on our love walk, can we just work on our love walk? You know what I'm saying? Why is it so easy for us to hate and to fight, but it's so hard for us to love? Why is that? Because the enemy wants you. He wants you to be bickering and fighting and arguing and division and disunity. He don't want you to come together. He don't want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He don't want you to love your brother as you love Christ. He don't want you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. He don't want you to love. He don't want you to love. He will fight your love walk more than he will fight anything about you. He will fight your love walk. And Sister Glenda, I'm so thankful that you said that tonight. And I pray that all the listeners got that revelation. Let's try to walk in love a lot more than we did yesterday, even 5 minutes ago. Let's increase our love walk. Please, let's increase. We got enough hatred in the world by itself, and it don't need no more help. There's enough hatred in the world. It don't need me and you to be hating one another. It need me and you to start loving one another. That way the world can see what love is.
only way the world gonna see it if they see it in me and you and you and me. That's the only way the world
That's
is
right.
gonna see the love in a practical application when we see others loving one another in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our faults, our mishaps, when we mess up, when we fall from grace. Let's continue to love one another. Thank you, Sister Glenda. I am so, man, I'm on, man, thank you, Sister. That's all I can say, thank you. That's all I can say, thank you.
Praise
Amen.
God. Praise
Okay, what I've been doing is I've been muting everybody's mic, so if you, like I said, so you wouldn't interrupt nobody, so each caller, when you finish speaking, I've been muting your mic. I got a new number here I don't recognize. 843-4978. Who we got tonight?
Good evening. Hello?
Good evening. Yes, come on.
Hello?
843-4978. Your mic is open. Okay.
Hello, hello.
All right, we'll come back. Hello? All right, we're closing back up. Maybe they're not paying attention. Brother Maul, we saw you down there, Brother Maul. I saw you come in and out. If you want to say something, Brother Maul, hit the one button again. Brother Brandon, your mic is open. Brother Brandon.
How y'all doing, Brother Willie and Brother Mike? I'll just give y'all a phone there and let you know I was on and ready to listen for the word. And y'all just pray for me and my family because my baby girl, she kind of gave us all what she had, and we all trying to fight this battle together so we all get back healthy. But other than that, I'm blessed. But yeah, I'm better than blessed to see another day. But just give a little prayer for me and my family so we can get on back on our feet. And that's about it. But I'm listening for the word, though, so Mr. Hill, lay it on.
Amen, amen, amen.
Okay, that's Brother Brandon. All right, Brother Stanley, your mic is open, Brother Stanley.
Good evening, Willie. Good evening, Mike. I just pushed the button, dog, because I finally got into the house after me and my wife been out. But I just want to let you know that I'm here and supporting the show, and I'm here and listening for the word, and I'm in a good place right now. Mike, if you get a chance, I'd like to say a prayer for the whole grudge world, man. We've lost a lot of people this year, and the year's still not gone yet, but it's going rapidly. And just to say a prayer for the whole grudge community, and I think it's something that's needed because a lot of people that started the year out that were grudge, that was in this grudge thing, didn't quite make it to the end, man. And I'm just blessed and thankful and thank God every day for being here because if we're here, we owe him some praise and some glory himself. So, you know, we all here for a purpose, and it ain't just to exist. You know, it's a greater good and it's a greater cause, and you never know what that message or what that theme that God have on your life to share with others is. But I believe if we learn to tune ourselves a little bit better to him, we will see a greater cause, a greater purpose on our life than just existing. And I feel it, man. I know it's something that I need to do because we all can feel it, but we just sometimes don't reach that goal, you know, or don't seem to get it done. So I pray tonight that the Lord shine his light on me and whatever his will in my life, let it be done. Whether it's me touching, I don't know what it is, but I just feel it this evening. So that was on my heart to say, so. I'm going back on.
Amen, me. Amen, amen. Brother Stanley, you can go ahead and while we got time, you can go ahead and do the prayer that you want to do right now if you want.
Well, I was asking that you do it, Mike. I guess I.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah. If you could just pray for the grudge world, man. I enjoy listening, and I'm sure that, and I know for sure that God has an anointing on your life, Mike, and we feel it and hear it all through your word. So let the Lord speak to you tonight. Let the Holy Spirit be in our presence. That's all I got.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, Brother Stanley. Amen. Appreciate the support from you and your wife. We appreciate you, man.
Okay, I'm going to go back up here. 843-4978. Can you hear me?
843-4978.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Good evening.
We're wonderful. And yourself?
I'm fine. My name is Lorraine Mack, and I'm calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And James Mack is my son, and he called me, and he told me about the program, and I was listening to you about a couple of months now. But this is my first time calling this afternoon to let you know that you're
Amen.
Doing a beautiful job. And I enjoy it very much. It's just something that relaxes me on a Sunday afternoon, and it makes you want to think about things that are going on in the world today. And I just pray and hope that you keep it up. It's real nice what you're doing.
Well, we thank you, Sister Mac. We appreciate you, man. It's an honor and a privilege. You know, we Mac is a personal friend of mine. Haven't been knowing him a long time, but you know, when I first met the brother, I really enjoyed his spirit about him, and now I see it where it comes from. You know, and the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. So we appreciate your support on this show, and we're definitely gonna keep you and your family in prayer, and continue to pray for us as we continue to move forward in God. Amen.
Amen. And you have a blessing.
Amen.
You
too. You too. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Don't hang up, Sister Maggie.
Oh no, I'm not gonna hang up.
Okay. 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 So if you want to jump back in, just come off mute. If you want, anytime you want to jump back in, you can come off mute. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Amen. You're welcome.
Brother Mike, what I was doing, I was muting everybody's phone. Nobody's phone has been open. Just so I won't have to try to go back and try to find the noise. But what I'm going to do, Brother Mike, before you start your sermon, I'm going to go back and over all the mics back open just in case they want to set something before you start the sermon. Then I'm going to mute them back out. That way we won't have to keep on
saying No, don't do that. Everybody that was in the queue, you can press the 1 button, take yourself out the queue. And if you need to get back, if you need your mic open again, just press the 1 button for the second time. Because I don't need no background noise. So if your mic was open, press the 1 button now and take yourself out the queue. And if you want to get back on and say anything or have anything to say, just press the 1 button a second time and it puts you back in the queue. And Willie can see that you want your mic open again.
Exactly. I'm going down here to Brother Maul. Brother Maul, I'm opening your mic up. I saw you was in and out the queue. Did you want to say something, Brother Maul? Brother Maul.
Yeah, I had to click over. My mom had called, but I didn't want to tell you. I appreciate you guys, and I'm really proud of you guys. Trying to put the word out, man. Y'all God people doing God work, so I appreciate you, man.
Hey, man, appreciate you, Brother Maul. Appreciate you and the family, man, and thank you, like you said, for your faithfulness and your support of this show. You've been supporting the show from day one, so we appreciate you. Really do, my brother. Continue to be blessed, man.
You too, bro.
All right.
Both of you. Everybody.
Thank you, Brother Maul. All right, with that being said, Brother Mike, we have no more hands up. And if y'all didn't understand what Brother Mike was saying, he's saying, if you're in the queue, just hit the 1 button. It'll take you out and it'll put you back in. That way I see you want to say something. Otherwise, I'm going to leave your mic closed. But with that being said, Brother Mike, I need you to say a prayer for, like Stanley already said, say a prayer for the racing community because, again, we need a lot of prayer because going up and down these roads, we need the traveling mercies that we get. And also, I want you to say a special prayer for little Emily. I get nervous every time we have a race and she's going up and down that road by herself. I just don't feel good. So say a special prayer for her and start trying to get a guy and angel to ride with her, which evidently has been riding with her because she's been making it back and forward all the time. But I just feel a little nervous when she's going up and down that road by herself. Also, Brother Mike, you know, we lost our Brother Mike Cooper. He went on to his resting place. We need to say a special prayer for him. He's at his resting place. And also, we need a special, special prayer, Brother Mike, for a personal friend of yours and mine, Brother Ernie. His condition got a little worse. He's okay. He's in the hospital now, though. Brother Ernie is in the hospital. So say a special prayer for our special friend, Brother Ernie. Thank you, Mike. Going on mute.
Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, prayer, man, that we living in a time and a season, man, that prayer is so important, and you have to have a prayer life in this stage of what's going on in this world. You have to. You have to. You know, prayer is more important than you eating food every day, and you know how important it is to feed the body. But prayer is way more important than eating food today. Prayer is even more important than getting dressed every morning, going to work. Prayer is more important than your job, whether you believe it or not. Prayer is a weapon that God has given us. If you don't have no prayer life, the enemy will beat you up so fiercely. He will walk all over you. He will tell you things for you to believe. He will have you doubting God. He will have you doubting yourself. He will have you doubt what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. Prayer is a weapon that God has given us. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us to be able to pray. And we need a prayer life. Prayer is only you and God communicating to you and God. And you have to pray. You have to pray when God opened your eyes up. When God allow you to go outside your home, while you're in the workplace, the marketplace, you have to be prayed up, because the enemy, the Bible says the enemy, which is the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Do you know how a lion, if you ever watched the History Channel, how a lion hunts his prey, how he hides and camouflages himself in the grass and the bushes, and he eases up on the prey, and he keep easing up on the prey to the right moment, then he starts his attack on the prey. That's what the enemy does. The Bible is clear. The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. The devil is in the earth realm going back and forth seeking who he may devour. Seeking who he may devour. And if you continue to not to pray, then you open yourself up for all the attacks of the enemy. You allow yourself to be vulnerable. It's like a herd of deer and a herd of whatever it may be out in the wilderness. You know what I'm saying? The lion ain't going to attack the herd. He going to attack the one that's off by itself, the one that's just doing his own thing. You know what I'm saying? That's the one he's going to attack. And when you're not in prayer, when you're not keeping yourself prayed up and asking and calling on the angels of the living God to protect you, the warring and protecting angels, Michael and Gabriel, to watch over you and your family daily. God has given us angels to protect us. But the angels cannot move unless we ask them to move. We have the authority to release the angels of war to protect us and our families on a daily basis. But we don't do it. And you wonder why all this havoc is going on in your life and in your family and in your body, and why you ain't got no peace and you ain't got no joy, you ain't got no long suffering. Because the enemy is working on you overtime. He's working on you day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour. We have to pray. We're living in a time. I don't know if this is the end time. The Bible don't say when God coming. He said we don't know the time or the hour when God is coming back. Some say he's coming back soon. I don't know what soon means. Soon could be 2 years. Soon could be 100 years. I don't know. It says soon. I don't know what soon means. But I do know he's coming back. Until he come back, until we leave here, we have to have a prayer life. Don't leave your house. Don't go to bed. Don't wake up without praying. Praying for them children. Praying for your spouse. Praying for your loved ones. Praying for your neighbors. You might not even have a relationship with your neighbor, but pray for them anyway. Pray for that supervisor on your job. Pray for that manager on your job. Pray for them employees on your job. Because somebody was praying for you. Somebody was praying for you at one time.
and might still be praying for you. We living in a wicked world. We living in a world where death and destruction is on an all-time high. An all-time high. We had almost 4,000 shootings in the city of Chicago this year. 4,000. 472 or 482 shootings in the month of August, with 90 deaths just in the month of August. You can't tell me the devil ain't busy. He busy. He is busy. And we got to get more busier when it comes to the things of God. We got to stop playing. It's time out of playing church. Question came up today. Before I get into my question, Willie, where my co-host at?
Yes, sir. I was on mute too, sir. Yes, yes, Brother Mike.
I need you right now this practical application that I'm finna share with the listeners. Some can relate and some might can't relate, but at the end of the day, you gonna get what I'm trying to say. Willie, let me ask you a question. Can you consider yourself a grudge racer? If you never leave home, you never go to the track, you never race your car?
I don't think so, sir.
Why is that?
Well, if I'm a grudge racer, don't I need to grudge race?
And how do you grudge race? What do you got to do to consider yourself a grudge racer? What do you got to do?
I got to go to the track and race.
Oh, okay. You got to go to the track. So if a guy say, I'm a grudge racer, and you say, well, I ain't never saw you at no track, do you bring your car to a track? And he say, no, I don't bring my car to the track, but I got a race car at home. Is he considered a grudge racer?
No, sir. I don't think so, sir.
Okay. I don't think. Okay. That's good. So to be able to be a grudge racer, you have to participate. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, sir. I don't know if it's the right answer, but that's the answer I think it is, sir.
I mean, this ain't no trick question. Okay, to be able to be a good grudge racer, what do you have to do? To be a good grudge racer, what do you have to do?
You have to go to the racetrack more often and do a lot of racing, I would think. I think you're trying to lead me to say that if I'm going to be a good Christian, I got to go somewhere.
Huh?
I don't know.
That's what you
I
think?
I don't know, Mike. You got me nervous. You got me nervous over here, Brother Mike. You got me nervous.
It's all right. It's okay. I got your back. I think you have to go to the race track
and you have to race your car to be considered called a grudge racer. You just can't sit at home and say what you're going to do, and you never. Actions speak louder than words.
Okay. Now, does going to the track racing your car help you become a better grudge racer? The more you go, the more knowledge you get about racing. Is that a good statement to make? The more you go, the better of knowledge you get about racing. Is that true?
Yes. That is very true. The more you do it, the better you are at it. The more you learn about it. Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Okay. All right. The question came up. I've been hearing this several times. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? No, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Let me put that out there. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Christianity is a love relationship between you and God. That's what Christianity is. It's God reaching down to man. You know, it's a personal love relationship. Okay, we got that understood. You don't have to be a Christian to be able You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to worship God. You can worship God in your home. You can worship God in the marketplace. You can worship God on your job. You can worship God in your car. You can worship God in your bathroom. You can worship God on the corner, in the alley. You can worship God laying down, standing up, on your knees. You can worship God. We got that understood. The Bible is so clear. It says, do not forsake the assembly of the brotherhood. Why? Why did God say that? Why did God say that? Don't forsake the assembly of the brotherhood. It's a reason. It's a reason why the local church is there. One of the main reasons for the local church is to be able to equip you to be able to be a better Christian in the earth realm. The Bible said that God has given some to be prophets and apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the effect of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Church tendency, attending church, you know what I'm saying, there's different gifts that's manifest in the church. You need those gifts to be able to learn certain things. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the word of God, to be able to be equipped for the kingdom business. If you don't go to church on a regular basis, I ain't saying you got to be a member of a church, but if you don't go to church on a regular basis, you are selling yourself short, because in a church assembly, a gathering, there's so much in that that you can learn from, that will build you up, that will equip you to be a better Christian. If you show me a Christian that never goes to church, never goes to church, I will show you an immature Christian. Does not mean he's not a Christian. He's just immature in a lot of things when it comes to the things of God. Not forsaking assembly of the brotherhood will allow you to be equipped, will allow you to be mature in the things of God. You can sit at home and read your Bible day and night, and that's wonderful. That's fabulous. You can worship God. You know what I'm saying? You can speak in tongues. You can sing hallelujah. You can sing like the angels of heaven. You can do all of that. But at the end of the day, there are some things that's inside the four walls of the church that you need to be able to equip you to take you to different levels in God. Different levels in God. There's so many. The Bible says this, that we are one body but many members. How can my right hand says, how can my body say it does not need my right hand, or my index finger says it don't need my middle finger? How can my right eye says it don't need my left? Can my right ear says he don't need my left ear? How can my right leg say it don't need my left leg? We have one body, just like in the natural. You have one body, but you have many parts that make that body function the way God designed it. It's like an airplane. An airplane has wings, landing gear, gauges, all kind of engines, all kind of stuff that makes up this airplane. The airplane can't say, I don't need the right wing. The airplane can't say, I don't need the left engine. The airplane can't say, I don't need the landing gear. There's many parts that makes up the airplane to be able to fly, to get off the ground, to stay up in the air, to land safely. Same thing with the body of Christ. We are many parts. We are one body with many parts. Many parts. You need the assembly of the brotherhood. It helps you grow faster. It helps you mature in the things of God. Because there are some things that you will hear come across the pulpit that you're not going to hear sitting in your home, sitting in your room, reading your Bible. There's some things that God will put into another brother, another sister to speak into your life that you probably wouldn't have got that revelation unless you came to church. Church attendance, not membership. Church attendance is very important. I'm not talking about membership. I'm not talking about joining a particular church. I'm talking about attendance. It might be a song that someone may sing in church one day. They might get you a breakthrough. You might get a revelation of what God is trying to do in your life just because of a song. It might be one word that the pastor of that congregation might speak into your life. And you say, wait a minute, you all in my business. Was you peeking through my window? Was my phone tapped last night? No, that was the Holy Spirit speaking through the minister of that service into your life, because the Holy Spirit knows what you need. But if we sit at home and never go to church, we're never going to get to the level that God wants us to be in him. We're never going to do it. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how much you listen to the prayer show on Sunday. I don't care how much you pray. You will never be mature to the maturity that God wants you to be. God is clear. We should not forsake the assembly of the brotherhood, because there's so many gifts in the church that will equip us in certain areas of our life. Can't say it don't need the finger. I just said that. You know what I'm saying? One body part can't say it needs the other body part. It can't say that. Just like an engine of a car and a car. The car can't say I don't need the battery, and the car can't say I don't need my alternator and I don't need my left wheel, my right wheel. It's one car but many parts to make that car up. You cannot be an effective grudge racer if you just sit at home on the couch, go out in the garage and start your car and say, I'm a grudge racer. How can you consider yourself a racer, a grudge racer, class racer, when you never participate in the things of racing or grudge racing? Don't nobody know you. They hear your voice, but don't nobody know you. Never saw your car. You know, you can say your car is such and such fast, but until you don't even know that until you go to the track and get that little yellow and white piece of paper. You don't know how fast your car is. Your engine builder probably told you that your engine might make this much horsepower and your car should run this fast, but until you go to the track, you will never know how fast your vehicle is. Same thing when it comes to the things of God. Don't let the devil deceive you and thinking you don't need to go to a local church for assembly. I'm not talking about membership. I'm talking about fellowshipping with like-minded people, people with the same like-minded that you have. For Jesus I live and for Jesus I die. I'm talking about that mindset. So that topic came up. I just wanted to share that. You know what I'm saying? It's been coming up for a while. I just want to put some clarity on that. You do not have to be a Christian. You do not have to join a church to be a Christian. You don't have to join a church to worship God. You don't have to join church to praise God. You don't have to be a member of any church, but you need not to forsake the assembly of the brotherhood. You need to go to some church. If you just visit this church and visit that church, I guarantee you your spiritual growth will take off by leaps and bounds, especially if it's a Bible teaching church, teaching the infallible word of God. There's a lot of churches out there that ain't teaching the infallible word of God, so you have to be careful. So before you decide to go to a church, you pray and you ask God to lead you to the right church that has the stuff, has the right material when it comes to the word, to the infallible word of God, that will help you grow to the level that God wants you to be at. Just don't show up in any church. You don't know what they're doing up in there. So you have to pray and ask God, and God will show you the church he wants you to attend. You don't have to join a church, but you can attend a church without being a member and get that spiritual food. It's like a baby. You know what I'm saying? You can't feed a newborn baby sneaker bars and nacho chips and all. You can't do that. You say, well, I'm feeding them, but yeah, you feeding the wrong stuff. The baby ain't gonna grow. Spiritual realm, you gotta be careful what you're feeding your spirit man with. You got some people only some Christians only need to be fed on milk. Some people can't chew a steak. You know what I'm saying? Some of the word of God is like steak. You can't digest it. You can't get that revelation. So you gotta feed them milk first. There's some things that I can teach on this show that a lot of people ain't gonna receive because spiritually you're not ready for it. And I won't do that. I won't try to teach certain teachings to my listeners because I don't know where everybody's at. So I gradually, as weeks go by, I give you a little bit more and a little bit more here and a little bit more there. I'm not gonna put a stake down there and you'd be like, what is this brother talking about? Well, I don't understand that. I don't want to lose you. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of churches does that. They try to come up with all these big words and things of that nature, and they lose the people. I want to reach you where you at to get you to the next level in God. The Bible says one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. Just like a farmer. He plants his seed. He come back and water the seed. And then God gives him the increase. Same thing. It's a process. Spiritual growth is a process. You don't get it overnight. But you have a part to play in your spiritual walk with Christ. We all have a part. We all have a responsibility in our maturity in Christ, maturing in Christ. We have a part. So if you want to grow maturely, mature in Christ, you have to not forsake the assembly of the brotherhood. You have to. You're not going to grow. You can be saved for 30 years and still doing the same thing, still act the same, look the same, talk the same, doing the same thing after 20 years. Why? The mind has not been renewed. You have forsaken the assembly of the brother. You're not around like-minded people that can help you grow in any area that you're struggling in. We all struggle in some area. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what calling on your life. We all have areas in our life that we struggle with. We all struggle with, we all got our personal struggles, whether it's anger, malice, strife, whatever it may be. We all got certain areas that we struggle with. And God needs us to mature in that area. So you have to surround yourself with like-minded if you mature in that area from experiences, but most of all from the Word of God, because the Word of God is the final authority. So I pray that what I said tonight bless somebody, and I pray that I put some clarification on that discussion about do you got to go to church or do you got to be a member of a church. I pray that I put some clarification on that subject. I pray that I did. I'm not going to go into because it's after hours. Next week, I don't know if I should be back in time, but next week we're going to talk about the way of faith. That's what we're going to talk about next week, about the way of faith. That was my topic for tonight, but the Lord led me in a different direction about this assembly, going to church. Church is very important. It's very important. Not membership. I'm not talking about membership. I'm talking about attendance. Attending, because the Bible is clear. Whether you're going to believe the word or you're not going to believe the word. We can't say we believe this about the word, but we don't believe that in the word. We can't do that. You can't pick and choose what you believe and what you don't believe. We can't do that now. The word is the final authority, whether you believe it or you don't believe it. You can't pick and choose what fits to you, what works for you. That's what you're going to believe. The other stuff you ain't going to believe. No, it don't work like that. Pray that everyone has been blessed by what was said tonight. We will continue on the subject about faith. That's one of my strong teachings about faith, man. Because you gotta do this thing by faith. This walk with the Lord is all about faith. It's not about feelings. It's not about getting goosebumps. It's about faith. And the Bible is so clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we're going to continue to talk about this faith thing next week. If anybody got any takeaways on what I said, any questions, any input, press the 1 button, and my co-host will open the mic up. And co-host, you got any questions, co-host, tonight?
No,
Now, I'm good, Mike. You answered all the questions. Evidently, somebody must have called you about the same subject you was talking about, but I'm good. And it took me a minute to come off mute. You know, I was on mute. I didn't want to get, you know, I didn't want to make no noise, so I was on mute.
That's fine. No, it came up. The subject came up before in the past. I never addressed it. You know what I'm saying? But I hear it coming up again, and it's in the discussion. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's all about. We discuss about things, and because the Bible said that we perish for a lack of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Because of a lack of knowledge, you know what I'm saying? We don't know because of a lack of knowledge. And when you don't know, you got to ask. And that's our problem. We don't want to ask. We think, oh, that's a silly question. I don't want to seem immature, but we have to ask. One thing about the disciple Peter, he asked more questions than any other Jesus disciples. He was always asking Jesus, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You have to ask questions when it comes to the things of God. That's the only way you're going to be able to know. That's the only way you're going to be able to get the knowledge and be able to mature to the level God wants you to be mature, because we all need another level of maturity in our walk with Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And Brother Amen. Mike, Amen. I just want to say we got a special guest on. We got a special guest come on tonight there, Brother Bobby Cole. I don't know if he want to say anything or not, though, but I just want to welcome Brother Bobby Cole to the show tonight. I see he's on here. Brother Bobby Cole, if you want to say something, just say hello to the congregation here. You can press the one button. If you don't, though, you can continue to listen. I just want to let you know that we
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, yeah, I appreciate Bobby. You know,
hey, what's going on?
Yeah, what's
going on? Mike. How y'all doing? I got in on the tail end off here. Headed to New York and my time zone is different. I forgot to call in, man. So I'll catch you next week.
No problem.
We appreciate
you, Bobby, man. Appreciate your support, man. You be safe. We're gonna lift you up in prayer tonight as well. That God will continue to give you traveling mercies up and down in the highway, because that's a strenuous job that you do, and that God will continue to protect your family in your absence while you're out there providing for your family, man. So we're definitely going to keep you in prayer as well as we do all our truck drivers, man. So you continue to be safe. And we thank you, and we appreciate you tuning in tonight and your support, Bobby. We really do.
All right. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, Brother Mike, we have no more hands up. You can go ahead and do what you do. And whenever you want me to open the mics back up, just let me know, Brother Mike.
Yeah, you can open them back up now just in case somebody has somebody might have a takeaway. Somebody might have a takeaway about what was said tonight. So you can open the mics up.
You know we got somebody. I ain't got to call no name. I'm gonna give you a prayer if you tell me who just hit the one button. Tell me who just hit the one button, Brother Mike.
Jen.
Come on, Jen. Come on, Sister Jen. Sister Jen, come off mute. She might be talking. Your mic is open, Sister Jen.
Okay, can you hear me?
Sure.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, you need to quit bugging my house, Brother Mike, okay? I texted your wife when you were talking. I said, did y'all bug my house?
No, we didn't bug your house. We didn't bug your house, Sister Jen.
Because I went to church last Sunday, and I'll just give you a little real quick breakdown since I'm long-winded, according to Willie. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, okay? It was your traditional kind of church. I don't know if any of y'all, probably some of y'all have been or may not have been. And I kind of outgrew that probably about 14 years ago when I started going to non-denominational churches. And the music, because I love music. I've always loved music. And the contemporary music is what gets me. And then, as you were saying, like, sometimes, you know, you it's baby steps. You know, you're feeding us little baby food, but some of us are at the meat potato section, you know. We're all at different levels. And I started out years ago listening to Joyce Myers and Beth Moore, and then I moved on to T.D. Jakes, and there's a pastor in Richmond, Virginia, his Lance Watson. He's a Baptist preacher, but he was talking about spiritual warfare, something I never heard Baptist preachers I went to talk about. and you move to different levels. And 4 years ago, when my husband had a really bad car wreck and he broke his femur, he grew up in the Mormon church, and we were right in the center where Mormonism started. And I joined the Mormon church for several years, even to when I got to here in Florida. But it was, there's a season and a time for everything. And for what I needed during those times of New York and Oklahoma to Virginia, back to Florida, we move like gypsies. It fulfilled what I needed. But I am spiritually need more. I need more because the music touches me, different songs, different things. That's what touches my soul and gets me where I need to be sometimes. But I also have to go where my kids can be fed. I have to go where I can be fed. And it's like I was telling your wife earlier, I need a T.D. Jakes church. I was just talking to Emily about this afternoon because I did not go to church this morning. I didn't feel good. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the kids to the beach. We're going to have some church on the beach. Well, all I can say is that the devil snuck into my house today, and my whole day has been a total disaster. And why? Because I didn't get my stupid little lazy butt up and just go on to go to church, even if it's not where I know I like it, but I know that that's not where God wants me yet. And it's hard for me to go try new places because, believe it or not, I am shy. I don't like change. I don't like going to new places. And I got the little two-year-old, so I have to put him in nursery, and he don't always want to go. And then I'm really funny about who I leave my kids with. You know, I'm not worried about my older ones, but my baby I worry about. So it's hard. But I know because God's been pressing on my heart, I haven't found that place yet. But I haven't been going and looking like I should either. Yes, I read my Bible every day. I sit in my prayer closet. But you're right. I do better when I'm in church because I'm around other people. And last week when I did go to church, the preacher at the end, well, his whole sermon was about all the craziness of our world, you know, the shootings, the racist things, everything. And at the end, he asked us to get into small groups and pray. And I'm sitting beside, the only person I know in this church is my daughter's friend, and she's sitting with two gentlemen. And so we formed this small group, and they're all just looking like, we're not praying, I'm not praying. So I had to step up and pray in this small group with these three people that I barely, two of them I don't know, one I do know. And it felt good. I felt good the rest of the day last Sunday. But today, because I didn't do what I needed to do, whether that's where I'm supposed to go or not right now, I still needed to go, and I didn't. And so you can quit bugging my house because I promise you I'll be in church somewhere next Sunday. Even if I have to go by myself, I'm going to pray that God will open the doors where he wants my family because you're right, we do better. You don't have to, and my sisters are like, we're Christians, we don't go to church. You don't have to, but you do better because you never know whose life you're going to touch. Like you said, a simple song, a simple hello, a simple how are you. And me praying that Sunday, these men were like, oh, wow, you know, that was great. Thank you, you know, and it's hard for me because, believe it or not, I am shy. I do not like getting out of my comfort zone. I don't like getting out of my box. See, nobody can see me on this radio, so I'm okay. I just hear my pig voice and listen to it. But, you know, and you're so right. It just makes you feel better. And then when there are times are hard, those are the people you can call on and ask to come pray with you and do things. And the people at the Mormon church here, they are totally different from any of the ones I've ever met. And I totally just isolate myself from them because I'm like, this is not church. I am not supposed to go in a church where people shun me or make me feel like I'm unwelcomed or uncomfortable. My kids beg me not to go. And they keep telling me, oh, you don't go for them. You go to take the sacrament. You go for God. Well, I also believe that church is for sinners. We welcome everybody with loving arms because that's what's going to make you want to come back because people loving on you, people just acknowledging that you're there, it means a lot. At least it does to me. And I thank you for bugging my house. I'll be in church.
Amen. 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 We appreciate that, Sister Jen. We appreciate that. Yeah, Willie.
Sister Hill, your brother Mike, your wife is on also. Sister Hill, your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate the word this evening. I also wanted to just touch base. Just when we do forsake ourselves from the assemblies of the brethren, we're doing ourselves a disservice as well, because a lot of people do not want to be held accountable, and that's the main reason why we do need to go into church, because even though we sit at home, we praise, we, you know, put on our music, we watch the TV programs, but we're not walking and doing what it is that the TV is telling us to do, the ministers are telling us to do on the TV, so we kind of forsake ourselves and we're not held accountable, and that's what we do need. You know, we need to be held accountable for the things that we don't do. We need to be encouraged in the things that we are trying to do, and we need to be uplifted on the things that we are doing, you know, and other people need it as well. You know, when we go into church, sometimes a person just needs to see a smile, and you could be that smile that person sees, you know, and make that person day go, you know, so much further. So I really appreciate the word this evening. It did touch home. I appreciate everyone for their support. Thank you for my husband. I thank you for the word that was laid on his heart, and that God will continue to bless him and strengthen him throughout the program. Thank you.
Okay,
amen,
brother.
Amen. Thank you, wifey. Thank you. Appreciate that encouragement as always. And if anybody else, before we close out, we know we usually go an hour, but sometimes we go over. And like I say, this is God's show. It's not my show or Willie's show. And we just let God use the people the way He wants them to be used, because you never know, somebody might need to hear what somebody is saying. And like my wife said, you know, it might be a smile, it might be a hello, a pat on the back, a hug. You know, you never know where a person going. And I say all the time, church is like a hospital, you know, you have many patients with different ailments and different things they're struggling with, you know, and that's where we go. You know, that's our safe haven, you know, to be able to get ministered to be able to minister to others, you know. Like I said, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm just talking about church attendance. It's very important, because you never know. Somebody might need to see your smile, and that makes their day. You know, they might have been down and out, and when they see you smile, you know what I'm saying, that right there was just enough to encourage them to not to give up, because the life that we're living here is so much, and life will throw you so many curveballs and bring so much your way that it's unbearable, and you can't endure it within yourself. And it takes the power of God and takes the other members of the body of Christ to help you endure, to encourage you. It's like a coach. You know, have you ever seen a football team win a championship without no coach? No, you ain't going to never see that. You know, it's a purpose of a coach to encourage, to root on, to mentor, you know what I'm saying, to let them know you ain't got to do it this way. Do it this way. I save you some hardship. You can get where you're trying to go, you know what I'm saying, doing it this way. If you take this route, you might get there, but it's going to take you a longer time to get in that way, you know what I'm saying? So that's what church is all about. You know, a lot of people try to put you in bondage, saying, "Oh, you ain't join this church, you going to hell." No, no, no. That's not the word of God. That's not the word of God. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, Christianity is a relationship between you and God. It ain't got nothing to do with your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandparents, your grandfather that laid the cornerstone of the church. It don't have nothing to do with that. Your personal love relationship is personal. That's what it is. Personal. All right. Between you and God. You know, so I just want to encourage you all, you know what I'm saying, continue to, like Sister Glenda say, you know, we got to continue to increase our love walk one another. You know what I'm saying? Life is too short to be wasting your time arguing and bickering and holding grudges and things of that nature. Life is too short for that.
You know what I'm saying? There's more important things that's going on in the world for you to be wasting your time bickering and holding unforgiveness and strife in your heart. You know what I'm saying? That's what diseases and things that come from all that bickering and unforgiveness and sickness and disease. You know what I'm saying? And what people don't understand is anger. Anger weakens the liver. Grief weakens the lungs. Worry weakens the stomach. Fear weakens the kidneys. Stress weakens the heart and the brain. You know what I'm saying? That's why God said, all your care upon him because he cares for you. Anger weakens the liver. Grief weakens the lungs. Worry weakens the stomach. Fear weakens the kidneys. And stress weakens the heart and brain. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be stressed about nothing. What you can't handle, give it to God. Ain't nothing. Stressing about it ain't going to help the situation. Worrying about something is not going to help your situation. Give it to God and let it be. My wife tells me all the time, you ain't got to worry in your body. For what? What am I worried about it for? If I can't do nothing about it, I can't do nothing about it.
Do nothing about it. Amen.
Let it be, let it be. So I just want to encourage you all to start increasing your walk, your love walk. You know what I'm saying? Love on your children a little bit more. Love on your spouse a little bit more. Love on your neighbors and your associates and your friends. Even that supervisor that gets under your skin sometimes. Love on them. You know what I'm saying? Speak love. Because the Bible is clear. Love covers a multitude of sin. You cannot fight hate with hate. You have to fight hate with love. You can't. I know they say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. No. Love, whatever it is, increase your love walk. And I pray that everybody be blessed. If anybody got anything else before we close the mic, we're going to go into our final prayer, and then Willie going to play a song, and then that'll be it until next week. Anybody got anything else? Anybody? Amen, amen. Willie, you can close all the mics, and we're going to go into prayer.
Okay, brother.
Let me know when you're ready, Willie.
I'm ready. Go
ahead. You ready? Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you once again for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness and even your compassion. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning. Give us another day of life, health, and strength. Father, we thank you for coming by each and every one of our bedsides. Father God, it's because of your mercy and your grace that you allow us to see this day. Father God, we know so many people laid down last night that was not able to wake up this morning. So, Father God, we thank you from the bottom of my heart for waking us up and giving us another day of life, health, and strength. We thank you for making a way out of no way, Father God. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you will forgive us for any sins that we may have said, done, or even thought of this day or any day in the past. Father, we ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness for your name's sake, sins of knowingly and unknowingly, sins of commission and omission. Father God, we just ask you right now to continue to search our hearts and our minds. Father, anything that's in our heart or our minds that's not of you, we counsel it right now in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you for tonight's show. We thank you for all the participants. We thank you for all the support, the listeners, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for everyone for tuning in tonight, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for all the prayer requests tonight, Father God, all the families that's represented tonight, all the marriages and the children and the moms and dads and sisters and brothers and grandparents that's represented tonight, Father God, uncles and aunties that's represented tonight, Father God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we lift up the family of Michael Cooper who lost his battle with cancer this past week. Father God, we lift up his family and his race team, Rock, Father God, his race team and all his family members and loved ones that knew Michael Cooper. I never knew him personally, Father God, but I heard nothing but great things about this man, Father God. So, Lord, we ask that you will wipe the tears of sorrow and give them the tears of joy, that they will hold on all the great memories that Michael left behind with his family and loved ones, that you would give this family peace. That surpass all understanding, that the joy of the Lord will continue to be their strength. Father God, we know that you are God of comfort, so we ask you to comfort the Cooper family, Father God, and all his family and friends and loved ones and his past in this past week, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for Brother Butchie. We thank you for healing him, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for his mom and his son, Father God. We ask you to continue to minister unto his mom's soul, Father God, that you would continue to heal her with the virtue, with the healing virtue of Jesus Christ, Father God. You said in your word that you took all her infirmities and you bore her sickness, and by the stripes of Jesus, she's already healed. So, Father, we thank you for Butchie's mom, Father God, and we thank you for his son, Father God. We ask you to continue to watch over his family, continue to watch over Butchie. Father God, we ask you to continue to show up and show out in Butchie's life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we lift up Sister Jean and her family. We pray, Father God, for her husband's health, Father God, that you will continue to minister unto him, Father God, personally, Father God, like never before, Father God. Wherever he's at right now, Father God, we ask you to minister unto him, even while he's asleep, Father God, that you will minister unto his soul in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. And we speak to his body right now in the name of Jesus. And we counsel every sickness and disease that's trying to attack his body in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we ask you to camp your angels of war over Jen and the family and even her husband as he travel up and down the highways and byways in Jesus' name. You will continue to give Jen peace, Father God, and you will continue to give her the joy of the Lord, will continue to be on her, be her strength, and she will continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And Father, we pray that you will send Jen to a Bible teaching church, Father God, a church that will teach the infallible word of God, that her and her children and husband will be get fed, Father God, that you will take them to another level in you and maturity, Father God. So, Father God, I ask you to show Jen, beyond a reasonable doubt, where you want her to worship at in Jesus' name. And, Father God, we lift up her daughter Emily, Father God. We pray for Emily as she travel up and down the highways and byways weekly, Father God. And we pray that you will continue to camp your angels, Michael and Gabriel, over the vehicle that she's driving and over the highways and the roads. And you will make every crooked path straight, Father God. And we bind any incidents or accidents, Father God, any car trouble while she's out there by herself, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. But also give Emily wisdom, Father God, to sometime take someone with her, Father God, and they can be company to her, that she can minister to them and they can minister to her, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for making a way out of no way as Emily travels up and down the highway, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father God, we pray that you will continue to do a new thing in her life, even behind the scenes, even the things that she don't understand, she don't comprehend. Father God, let her know that you are God and God all by yourself. Father God, we pray right now, Father God, for the young man and the young lady that lost their life down at the campus of North Carolina, Father God, in the shooting at a party, Father God. We pray for this young man's family and this young lady's family that you will comfort them, Father God, that you will comfort the parents of these two young college students, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will give them the peace, Father God, a supernatural peace. Father God, they need a supernatural movement of your peace right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. And I know they have questions and they doubt God and they're asking why. But Father God, we ask you to comfort this family, these two families, Father God, in the midst of this tragedy, Father God, and these two young college students who went away to school, Father God, to get an education and end up losing their life at a party, Father God. So we ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will comfort these two families in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for the salvation of the young man or the young woman who pulled the trigger, Father God. We pray for their soul, Father God. We pray for their soul, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Father God, we ask you to continue to lift up the racing community, Father God. We pray for the grudge community, the class racing, any kind of racing, Father God, mud racing, circle track, whatever got to do with racing, we lift up the entire racing community, Father God, that you will bring brief peace among the racing community in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, as you will encourage every participant, Father God, you will keep us all safe, even the fans, even the drivers, the car owners, the promoters, the track owners, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that no weapon formed against the racing community shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against it in judgment shall be condemned. I override and I overrule all the plans, plots, schemes, and devices of the evil one this day in Jesus' name. Father God, I counsel the spirit of death and destruction, sickness and disease right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, the racing community needs a healing, Father God. So I speak healing right now over the entire racing community in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will be glorified in the earth realm through every racer, every fan, every driver, promoter, tuner, track owner, that you will be glorified in everything we do when it comes to this racing community in Jesus' name, Father God. Father God, I pray for Brother Brandon, Father God, who's under the weather, and his family and his children and wife, that you will continue to comfort them and continue to heal them, Father God, continue to minister unto them, continue to protect them in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. I thank you for what you're doing even behind the scenes with Brother Brandon, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for allowing him to be the husband that you have called him to be, being the father that you have called him to be in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for what you're doing even behind the scenes, Father God, even the things that he don't even understand. The things he don't even comprehend, Father God, but I let him know that you are God and God all by yourself, Father. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for Sister Mac, who called in tonight, Father God, Brother Mac's mom. We thank you for her, Father God. We thank you for her son, Father God, for sharing the good news about Jesus Christ and sharing about this show, Father God. So we ask a blessing upon Sister Mac tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would camp your angels of war and protection over her dwelling place, that you would continue to order her steps, Father God. You would continue to minister unto her soul, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that every need of Sister Mac will be met, Father God. We bind the spirit of lack, Father God. She will be lacking nothing when it comes to the things of God, even the things of the world, Father God, financial blessings, Father God, whether it be a financial increase, Father God, we ask you to grant that blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Father God, we pray for Brother Ernie Wren. We thank you, Father God, for his life. We thank you for what he's doing for the racing community, Father God. So we pray for his health, Father God, a speedy recovery in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will minister unto Ernie right now. You will comfort his wife, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. You will give the doctors the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to treat whatever's going on with his body, Father God, that he would get the rest that he needs, Father God. We know that Ernie keep running like an energy bunny, that he keep going and going and going, Father God. So we pray that this time of being separated from the racing community and resting in the hospital, that he would get the proper rest, Father God, that his body is discerning, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we lift up Bobby Cole and his family, Father God, that you will continue to watch over Bobby and all our truck drivers that's up and down these highways and byways trying to make an honest living to provide for their families and loved ones. And in this absence of him working, Father God, watch over his family and his children, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Camp your angels over war over Michelle and the family, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that no weapon formed against Bobby Cole and his family shall prosper, that every tongue that rise up against him in judgment shall be condemned. I counsel every assignment of the enemy in Jesus' name. Father God, I ask you to make every crooked path straight for Bobby, Father God, that you will continue, Father God, watch over him as he drives and keep him alert, Father God. When his body get tired, Father God, give him the wisdom to pull over and get some rest, Father God, and not push himself, Father God, because I know he's trying to do so much and he got so much on his plate, Father God. So I ask you to watch over this man of God, Father God. Watch over his family and keep them safe, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. We bind any incidents or accidents, Father God, any bad weather, Father God, any bad traffic, we bind it in Jesus' name. You said in your word, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So I loose your angels of protection over Bobby and his family in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for my mom and my family, Lord. I thank you for how you're healing my mom, how you have brought her a mighty long way, Father God, how you have cured her, Father God, minister unto her soul, Father God, give her strength in her body in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for my wife and children, Father God, for what you're doing in their life in the name of Jesus Christ. I lift up my co-host, Father God, before you, that you will continue to minister unto his soul, Father God, that he will continue to live the way you want him to live, not the way the world wants him to live, Father God, but he will live in love and peace and joy, Father, by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ, that he will surrender his soul unto you, Father God, to be led by the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. I ask you to camp your angels over him, Father God. Watch over him. Continue to strengthen him in his body. Continue to watch over him as his comings and goings, his lying down and getting up early in the morning with thanksgiving on his heart. We thank you for every listener, Father God. We pray for the young man that who lost his life. We pray for his family who lost his life at the U.S. Steel in Gary, Indiana, Father God. We pray for this man's family, his wife and children, Father God. We pray that you will comfort his wife. You will comfort his two little children, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, that in this tragedy, Father God, you will still get the glory and the honor, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we ask you, Father God, that you will have your way. Watch over everyone under the sound of my voice. We thank you for tonight's show. We thank you for every participant, every listener, Father God, and every caller. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Yes! Yes!
He never failed me yet.
Yes! This far. We come this far by faith. You know what I'm saying? We can't turn around now. We're too far. We're too far in the game now. We can't not turn around. God has been too awesome to each and every one of us. I want y'all to continue to be blessed. Have a blessed week. And remember, increase your prayer life. Until next week, be blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you for all your support.
A child sitting on mother's knee. Yes, she told me all about the Bible, that I might have victory. Well, well, she told me when I was young, this old race gonna be hard to run.
Yeah.
Mother Bible in the morning, she prayed for me.
Yeah.
Now when children
thank
go
you,
away,
hallelujah.
Mother prays every night and day.
Yes, she
did.
She
said, Lord, take care of my children,
yeah,
and don't let them go astray. Oh,
yeah.
She's so often,
hallelujah,
down on her knee.
Thank you, Mama.
My Lord, help my children,
yeah,
please.
Help me,
Lord.
Mother
Bible, in the morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Mama, for praying for us. Thank you, all you mothers who have prayed for us, has prayed us through. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen and amen.